Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez, Patty Vasquez.
From global conflicts to greenhouse gases, the folks refusing to wear masks says, and politicians getting caught grabbing asses says, she's driving it home with Patty Vasquez.
Hello, hello. I'm so happy you guys are joining us today. I'm excited about today's show. I'm also excited to hear from you. I know what a great conversation we heard, several conversations during Joan's show. And if you want to continue with any of those thoughts about the threats to democracy, trying to exclude people from voting, really the idea of Jim Crow. I know that there are people who are listening because I heard one of them call during Joan's show and getting right in her face about vaccinations, and that was a couple hours ago. And I was like, get him, Joan. This dismissiveness of where we are and what we're concerned about, that we get told that all over and over again. When Trump was running, people were like, first of all, we were told there's no way he's going to win. And I remember telling folks I actually won many bets. And it's not something that I'm excited about or proud of. I just knew I saw so much hatred online that when Trump announced his candidacy and when he said all those things about Mexicans and people coming from Mexico, I told people, be very, very careful. This could be the next president of the United States. And people just thought I was crazy and dismissed it. And every step of the way, whether he was mocking reporters or all these accusations of sexual assault and rape, and everyone just, they really don't want us to believe anything that's right in front of us, including elections that have been validated, that have shown. I mean, sending the audit into Arizona and the results going against Trump, they still want to say that that's not true. And I'm so tired. But you know what, folks? Standing up to these sorts of actions, these attacks on democracy, it is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And you know what? It's also a relay race. It's all those things. It's a relay marathon race. You have to pace yourself. You have to take care of yourself. You have to run when you need to and then pass the baton on to somebody else and say, I'll get that on your way around the track, because we have to be vigilant. We have to be engaged. And that's one of the reasons I'm excited to talk to our guest coming up in just a little bit. Our friend Kirk Bagstedt, who we met a few weeks ago, the owner, the creator of Minocqua Brewing, progressive beer, hashtag progressive beer. We have to be willing to take a chance in some situations and put it all on the line. And he has been doing that. He is challenging the anti-maskers in Wisconsin. We see video after video of people showing up at school boards and harassing people who are there to do the best for kids in our communities. And he is, we'll find out from him what he's doing and how you can support his efforts to protect children and families and really the future of Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is important. Heard them talking in the last hour about what we need to do to hold off these threats to democracy. We have to be there for Wisconsin. We have to be engaged. Michigan, all the places where we know we can make a difference, especially right here from Illinois. So join our conversation anytime. The number is 773-763-WCPT. That's 773-763-9278, because this is your conversation, and we would love to hear from you. You can call or text to that number. But as Santita Jackson says every morning, we would love to hear your lovely voices. And there's a lot to talk about. I know that, by the way, if you are watching on our Facebook page, I encourage you to join WCPT 820's Facebook page, where you can watch all of our live streams. And if you're watching, you're like, where's her baseball hat? Why is she all fancy? I have an event to go to tonight. I am the 41st Ward Dems are having an event. They're having a fundraiser, and they're going to be talking to, they're going to have some candidates that will be presenting in various offices. And I'm going to see what's in store at the local level and the state level, as a matter of fact. And whenever you can, especially in volunteer situations, this is a fundraiser. I encourage you to find out, like, what kind of community groups can you join? And even if it's just, like, being there for your neighbors. I've mentioned these groups before. There's something called Buy Nothing on Facebook, and you can find your neighborhood. For mine, there's a Buy Nothing Jefferson Park. It's B-U-Y. And you put out there things things that you have that, you know, you might otherwise throw away or take to Goodwill. But, you know, first you check with your neighbors and say, hey, does anyone need this computer monitor? Or I have these lightly worn pair of gym shoes. Or can anyone use this, these scraps of fabric and turn it into something else? And you'd be surprised how many people, you know, maybe they want to try something they've never tried before, a product that has been unopened. You know, people give away like protein powders and things like that. And you put it online and you connect with your neighbors. And that's apolitical. It's a way to engage with your community and be there for each other. And if you're looking for something, you can put an ISO in search of, like, maybe nonstick pans, or, you know, if you've got a college student and you want to get some items to help them get started at school, you can see what folks in your community have. And so we've got a lot of conversations this hour. We're also going to check in with James Murray, who you may know as Murr from Impractical Jokers. And he's written a new book called The Stowaway. And I've interviewed him before, and I thought we would take a little bit of a detour and talk about some entertainment today and some reading out there. And but I want to hear what you have to think, including Steve from the Gold Coast. Hey, Steve, how are you doing today?
Fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
And I, too, I on the one hand, I like the notion that WCPT has an open forum, unlike some conservative outlets who would, that, quite frankly, you know, they censor their callers. I do like the fact that, by and large, WCPT is a welcoming place where, you know, we can exchange ideas. I don't think that talk radio should be a pep rally where basically a bunch of us who agree with one another call in and we just pat each other on the back and say how wonderful we are. And at the same time, you know, I do draw the line with regard to taking issue with, you know, some callers, because I think that there are, as you pointed out, there are people who are, quite frankly, I think, delusional in terms of certain perspectives. And when they call in, I think it's up to the hosts and other callers to challenge those ideas.
Yep.
And as you pointed out, you know, I too listen to Joan's show, and you know, she gets that every now and then. And I think everyone on WCPT does a good job of challenging crazy, while at the same time allowing people to voice that perspective. Because if we just ignore them or censor them, then it's just a festering wound somewhere else. And then they go to their own little outlets. And then there's no discussion. And basically, that we get the America that we have today, one in which we're over here and they're over there in their own world. And the only place that we meet one another is someplace like, you know, a rally in which we start throwing bottles at one another because we don't understand each other. And I think that's what we've, you know, deteriorated into as a country, because I don't think we've been this divided in generations in America. I'll say there's enough blame to go around, including on my side. I'm a lifelong progressive, and we have our share of crazies.
Hey, you know, don't get me started. I ran for office, and I'm still licking my wounds as to how, what costs and what lengths that progressives will go to tear somebody else down within their own party. And that's something that, you know, I've talked about a little bit here and there, and someday we'll delve more into it. But yeah, I agree. It's important to have conversations. And the thing that got me when the caller challenged Joan, though, was that he wasn't willing to listen as well. And that's an issue, as you mentioned, either side of the aisle. But on the radio, if it's not a back and forth, then it's really, there's not very much room left to go.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, last week you had some great discussions. I mean, and you had people calling in from various perspectives, right, center, left. I mean, but yeah, it is incumbent upon us to call it, like I said, sometimes our own side. I mean, you had a gentleman who called in who wanted to basically label the Republicans as being to blame for our immigration policy of the last century. I'm sorry. I wish I could do that as a progressive, because I'm no fan of the Republican Party. But, you know, this idea that you don't understand as an adult the metamorphosis that has gone, that has happened in this country, that has transformed the two parties into what they are today, because the Republican and Democratic parties of today are not what they were 60 years ago. I mean, I'm sorry if you don't understand what happened, you know, the shift.
Right.
You know, the Johnson administration. So do not tell me that the Democrats are not to blame for certain immigration policies in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. I'm sorry, that's not the Democratic Party of today. That
right.
You know, so I mean, you know, but you know, people just need to pick up a textbook. With all due respect, I would love to have this sort of, you know, simplistic view of the world. Oh, Republicans bad, Democrats good. That's the way it's always been, and you know, that's the world in which we live. No, sorry, can't do that.
Nope.
There are these people called the Dixiecrats.
Yeah,
they existed, and you know, but you know, people need to bother to pick up a textbook, attend a lecture, audit a class. You know, you can't just simply, you know, have this sort of simplistic view of the world.
Agreed. I so appreciate your perspective, Steve, and always great to hear from you. Have a great rest of your day. I have to take a break here. Dave from Hoffman Estates. I know the phone line is lighting up, but I want to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to our friends at Minocqua Brewing. We're going to talk to Kirk Bankstead when we come back on WCPT 820. We're driving it home with Patty Boskin.
My friend Marty, he wants to split the party. He wants blue folks in red states to vote green. I can see his point, though. I really got to say, no, we can't have another 2016. It seems nothing beats orange, nothing even freaking rhymes with it. What's a battered nation supposed to do? His Royal Orange Highness, he does love to divide us. We've got to stick together and vote blue.
That's right. We got to stick together. And we are we're talking about a lot of the issues that are challenging right now and the threats to democracy. And we've been talking to our friend Kirk Bankstead, who is the creator, the founder of Minocqua Brewing, progressive beer, and you have taken some extraordinary steps today. Kirk, how are you doing today?
Hey, good to talk to you again, Patty. I decided to call in today because we drank too much beer the last time I was on
you
the show. In my head
you did. I did not have any on the air. But afterwards, we did go to Printer's Row Brewery in the neighborhood and had a couple with you. I felt so bad because we told you Printer's Row, and none of us thought to go, we meant the brewery, not the actual location in Chicago. So I'm so sorry.
I know. I was driving in rush hour traffic all the way downtown until you told me to turn around. It was a mess.
I'm so sorry. But it was good beer, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was great beer. Yeah, oh, yeah. Good place.
It's an awesome place. And so is your brew, by the way. Again, that's progressive beer from Minocqua Brewing Company. He's got things like a Comma La Stout and Bernie Brew and Biden, all the great stuff. But beyond that, tell us a little bit about the way in which you are turning these funds that you're raising, whether it's online or by selling this beer, and what the move you've made today and over the weekend in order to protect families and children across the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, so when I decided to do this whole progressive beer thing, it was basically to save myself from, you know, my brew pub was dying because of COVID. We were, we were closed down for a year. So, but I decided to start a super PAC as well to make Northern Wisconsin more progressive. And 5% of all of the sales profits from my beer, we donate back to the super PAC, and then we have other people just donate to the super PAC, and we use that money to, you know, just do stuff we care about. And so over the weekend, I announced, or yesterday, we had a woman, we do a podcast as well, we had a woman who was on a school board who was recalled because she voted to protect students who were too young to get vaccinated by enforcing masks for youngsters in school and social distancing and just all the normal stuff that was happening last year that should be happening again now because the Delta variant is kind of running rampant in the country. And when she said that, I started like tuning in, and turns out much of rural Wisconsin and even the suburbs outside of like Madison and Milwaukee have been overrun. Their school boards have been overrun with like these anti-masking hordes that are just, you know, that are kind of bullying school boards to not do any sort of contact tracing, to not do any quarantining when there are cases that pop up. And it's scaring the heck out of parents, and it's scaring the heck out of teachers who have to work there.
It's mortifying. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, so we started talking, and as the brewing company, we have about 50,000 Facebook followers in Wisconsin. And I put out last week, I said, listen, if any parents have gotten COVID, you know, from their kids who have picked it up at school, and there's no kind of mitigation policies in these school boards, we want to hear from you. And holy cow, we heard from tons of parents. And so what we decided to do was to we found two plaintiffs in both in the Eastern District of Wisconsin and the Western District, which are federal judicial districts. And we are currently putting together two different lawsuits with these plaintiffs, and our super PAC is funding it to do a class action suit against all school boards in Wisconsin that are kind of leaving these kids in the lurch, that aren't mandating masks and not doing the things they should be doing to protect kids' safety.
Wow. And I love that you got this reaction swiftly. And again, it sounds like you were caught off guard by how many people were affected, because you mentioned this before when you were in studio, you put up this huge banner for Biden, and there were people who would drive through and they would message you and say, "I feel safe." And you are a lifeline now to a lot of people who are isolated because they are surrounded by so many Republicans, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I get, yeah, people think that. Yeah. And I think people listen to what we say because we've been kind of really hardcore progressive for the last year. But I mean, honestly, like I said in the post, you know, that we're trying to raise money to be able to make sure that we can hire the right epidemiologists and the infectious disease experts to be able to present the right case. So, and I wrote this post, I'm like, I don't know why nobody else is doing this. Like, why does a brewing company have to be the one to, like, sue school districts across the state to protect kids? I mean, I'm happy to do it, but it just seems kind of weird, you know, that we're doing it. But it seems like it's the right thing to do. Like, somebody's got to do this. So, I guess we're stepping up. But, to me, it's like, why aren't other progressive groups that are kind of designed for this, or, like, personal injury lawyers or something, kind of doing it, you know?
Have you heard from anyone that's had an answer to that? Are they saying that, well, you know, it's too complicated because you have to sue every school board that is not mandating masks for children under 12 because they're too young to receive the vaccines. And as you mentioned, I mean, there are people they will, if they're exposed to it, they're able to bring it home and spread it in the community. I mean, at that rate, we're not able to control Delta. And Wisconsin, I was in Wisconsin, and y'all are not masking up. I will say.
No, we're not at all. And so I think, I mean, maybe I just have a smart lawyer, or maybe I have a crazy lawyer and it's not going to work. But like,
she's fine too.
But he seems to think that, like, that if we take it from the direction of, like, it's a mass pollution problem. So just think, like, you know, right, you have a bunch of paper mills all over the place, all like putting out crazy pollution. Like, you can sue them all as a class, because they're hurting everybody in the same way. So we think that all these school boards or school districts that are not mandating masks for these kids who are too young to get vaccinated are all doing mass super spreader events every single day.
Yes.
And so we're calling them like polluters. You know, it's like we're doing, it's like a public nuisance lawsuit. It's not necessarily like suing for damages for this family versus damages for that family, because there's no way we could sift through that as a whole, you know, state. But if it's just one big old public nuisance polluting situation, that's where we're taking the track that we're using. And hopefully it's brilliant. Hopefully it doesn't fail. It might fail miserably. We don't really know yet, but we're gonna file it in a couple days.
It's incredible because there is this nationwide assault on school boards. Who would have ever thought this would be the place where there are people not just protesting but attacking people and threatening them? I mean, I remember seeing that video out of Tennessee where the people were saying around a healthcare expert who had come to speak at the board, they were saying, "You're not safe anymore. We know where you live," and that's the kind of thing you're seeing in Wisconsin too, isn't it?
It's insane. Like, yeah, school board members are getting physically threatened. And to me, really, you're going to fall on your sword because you don't want your 7-year-old to have to wear a mask? I mean, these 7-year-olds don't even care. You know, they put them all in masks last year and they don't know any different anymore. You know, it's like, and so it just doesn't make any sense to me why people are like so up in arms in it. It does, because they're listening to Sean Hannity and just getting all riled up. But it's absolutely insane, and it's time for reasonable adults to step forward and just drop the hammer and do what's right. And the boneheads have got to just sit down and shut up. That's
That's the thing. That's what it is, Kirk. It's that the people, everyone else, isn't willing to say that. Sit down and shut up. That's why they don't want to pick up. They were talking about this in the last hour, how Democrats have been very soft-spoken or not pushed back hard enough for the last 10 years, the last 20 years. And we need more guys like you that say, sit down and shut up. But Democrats don't want to do that. We don't want to, because we're kind of we're the party of, like, can't we figure out a way to get along? And that puts us in a position of weakness, doesn't it?
Well, so, I mean, this is what I think. Like, I no longer want to have to. I mean, I went to Costa Rica for 2 months because I was like a COVID refugee last year because Wisconsin was such a disaster. Like, I don't want to have to, the lowest common denominator in Wisconsin, dictate how I lead my life. I don't want to have to go into restaurants and wear a mask all the time. I want to be able to go to restaurants. You know, I want to be able to live my life, and I can't because the lowest common denominator, the ones who are making out in a cornfield as opposed to going to science class in the eighth grade, are the ones that are like the loudest and most vocal, you know, and they're the ones who are ruining it for everyone else. So, like, I'm going to go for the greatest common multiple. Like, we need the smart folks who understand science, who understand critical media to be the ones leading right now. And the ones who are not smart and the ones who are easily manipulable by Sean Hannity, we just have to not silence them, but not listen to them, like sideline them so that we can do what we need to do to mitigate this virus and go about living life the way we should be able to live it.
Yeah, I am so grateful for that. Thank you so much for picking up the sword, I guess, and heading out of the battlefield. And there's a listener that has a question about your product, by the way. We are talking to Kirk Bankstead, who is the creator and the mastermind behind Minocqua Brewing's Progressive Beer. Hey, Chris and Glen Ellen, what was your question for our friend Kirk?
Hi, Patty. First, I love you. I'm still half here on the 5 to 6 o'clock hour because I'm always thriving at this hour.
Oh, welcome. Thank you.
I heard you, I want to say, last week or 2 weeks ago on WCPT. Love your story. But I don't think you're looking for it. Do you have any handcrafted sodas yet for your product?
Do you have any non-alcoholic choices for folks who like a handcrafted soda?
No, we don't.
Like beer, cream sodas, nothing like that yet.
We don't, man. I mean, we're still trying to fight to stay alive because distributors in both Wisconsin and Illinois, we're trying for distributors, are really worried that somehow they're going to get tied to my politics if they distribute us. So we're still trying to, you know, get past the gate of kind of, you know, the initial stages of all this. So, but you're right. I mean, we should make a soda. You're right, for sure.
I'll tell you this. I've spent 30 years in the restaurant industry, 20 years of management all over this nation. I would say that your product may be able to be pushed here in the Midwest, but you might want to branch off into places like Colorado and get together with some of the distributors out there.
Oh, he's building an empire. Believe me, Chris, Kirk is building an empire as we speak.
Hi, man. I'll talk to some people down here for you, man.
Good. Excellent.
Luck to you, Kirk.
Thank you, man. I'd appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you. Before we go, let me take one more call. I got Roosevelt on hold who wants to say something about Republicans. 1 second. What do you want to say, Roosevelt?
Hi, Patty. Thank you for taking my call. No, I was trying to follow up on what Steve was talking about and callers and our side, the progressive side, and specifically the other side, such as the gentleman that you have there that he's trying to battle those guys that don't believe in masks and don't believe in vaccines. The problem I have with the callers that call the so-called other side is they call with an agenda. Their agenda
right.
is to take up the time, to take up the time. Another thing is that I totally am against. They don't call with a solution and let's get together and let's have a discussion. Let's have an intelligent discussion. And they're very intellectually dishonest. They come with the talking points from Fox News and dump them on the station.
Yep.
And that is,
yep.
There's one particular show.
Roosevelt, I've got to run to, go ahead and tell me real quick, because I've got to run to a break and I want to make sure that, go ahead.
Real quick, I'm going to say this. They put out information that puts lives in danger, just as the gentleman that is battling these people.
Yep.
So I call in and battle against them because we are living in a times of your words could impact a person's health. That's it.
Thank you so much, Roosevelt. And that's why we have Kirk on the air, because we want to be able to support the kind of efforts that he has taken on and challenging the school boards all over Wisconsin that are making children vulnerable. Kirk, how can people help you? And I know this is going to be expensive, so I mean, people probably think, oh, I don't really have any money right now. How can they support you and get this done?
Well, so we've been getting $25 donations for the last 24 hours, and it's added up to about $40,000 right now. And I think that, you know, we've heard it could take $100,000 or so to keep fighting these guys. But all you got to do is go to the website. You can go to the Super PAC tab on the MonocleBrewingCompany.com website, mm-hmm. and you can donate there. And the money is going to go towards, first this lawsuit. But overall, we're building for the 2022 elections and trying to get progressives elected in northern Wisconsin, which is the deep red area in Wisconsin, which has kind of been left alone by the Democratic Party because they just thought it was, irreparable. And right. I don't believe that. That's where I'm from. So, yep. So that's why we're battling up there.
You're right. Exactly. Where there's hope, there's a way. I know that sounds corny, but I appreciate everything that you're doing. Can we check in next week and see how it's coming?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're going to want to. I think once we file this lawsuit, like on Thursday or Friday, I think, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of interested parties, and I think it might blow up from a news standpoint.
And let folks know they should visit your Facebook page, too, to stay up to date on all the things that you're doing, including help catch a vandalist who is attacking your property. So all those things.
I know.
Good luck with everything, and thank you for what you're doing. We'll talk to you next week, Kirk.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Take
Absolutely.
Care.
And don't forget, that's Minocqua Brewery on Facebook. So follow his journey. And we've got, I know the phone lines are full. I've got Dave and Ed. I've got guests coming up. Unfortunately, I've got James Murray, who's got a new book out called The Stowaway. We'll find out about that when we come
back. You're listening to Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez.
In your communities in Chicago.
On WCPT 820.
Thank you so much for joining us on WCPT 820. We're going to take a little bit of a side trip, and I want to introduce you to James Murray. You know him as Murr from Impractical Jokers. He's joining us on the line right now. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Patty. How are you today?
I'm very well. I spoke to you a couple of years ago. I think I talked to you after you released your first book, which was Awake.
I remember.
Yes, it was fantastic. And I'm so fascinated by this this career that you have, because people always think as comedians that we can't necessarily do anything that has a depth to it or different. Like, we're not able to do other incredible things with our lives. We have to be like pigeonholed. Have you run into that as a sort of science fiction and horror and mystery writer?
I think our fan base is so kind of dedicated and loyal that they kind of go with us on whatever we're trying to do. And I think they get there. We're creative guys and we do lots, you know. Plus, the books are really, really good. And that
yes, that does help a lot. And this one, this is your third book. You've written Awakened and The Brink. And now you've written this one takes place on a cruise ship. Did you start this before? I'm guessing you started this long before the pandemic, or had you?
Sure. The Stowaway is actually my fifth book.
Is it really?
It's great. It is. So the idea is this. The story centers around a woman named Maria Fontana, who is the juror on the serial killer case of the century. This guy has been accused of murdering a number of innocent children in these horrific ways. She can't find it in herself to find him guilty, and he goes free. 2 years later, she's on a transatlantic cruise with her kids and her fiancé, and halfway across the Atlantic, 2 days in any direction from land or kids start disappearing on the boat in the same way they did on the serial killer case. So she starts to wonder, is the killer on board? Did I let a guilty man go free? Is it a copycat or is something far more sinister going on? And since she's the only one that has intimate details of the case, she's the only one that could possibly stop him before he murders again. It is a great, exciting read. If you love books like Silence of the Lambs, you will absolutely love The Stowaway.
Absolutely. And how do you, when you mentioned something like Silence of the Lambs and this story, and there was a Copycat was a movie that I really loved.
Sure.
And so it reminds me a little bit of that with the psychologists, with the experts and things like that. What kind of research do you dive into to make this, how does that influence the way you write this and develop the characters?
It was tough getting into the mind of the serial killer. We did a lot of research on their you know, how they form and what they get obsessed with and things like that. A lot of the scenes came pretty naturally because, you know, the guys and I do an Impractical Jokers cruise where we are on a boat in the Caribbean with 5,000 fans for a week. We do it every year. So I knew the inner workings of the cruise ship really well, you know, having gone through this, our fourth Joker's cruise. So we know the decks below. We've been to the engine room. We've been to the things like that. We've kind of visited every different crane of the ship. So I modeled a lot of the ship after the Joker's cruise, even though the Joker's cruise is very safe, I promise you.
No. Well, that's the thing.
No serial killers on the Impractical Jokers cruise, I promise.
Yeah, what is it? I mean, the thing with the pandemic is that, like, cruises kind of take on a whole new life, don't they, with the idea of being stranded. And then it kind of lends itself where people are reading about this thinking, do I ever want to go on a cruise ship again?
Yeah. Well, after you read The Stowaway, you're definitely not going to want to go on a ship again.
Yeah. Have you heard from any of the cruise lines? They're like, hey, what are you doing? We got a business to run here.
We very smartly made up a fake cruise line business in the book.
Yeah.
So I don't want to piss anybody off. You know what I'm saying?
Well, have you, as a comedian, have you ever had to perform on a cruise ship?
Yeah, just the Joker's cruise.
Just the Joker's cruise. Yep. Yeah. But that's already your fan base. It's different when you're like, you're the comic on. We have friends.
Yes. I have never done that, although I've seen many a bad show on a cruise ship for other cruises. Yeah. I've never had to do that yet.
Well, then I can.
Yeah. The show won't last forever. Eventually, you'll see me on your local Norwegian cruise line.
Oh, hey, I would do it in a heartbeat if that's what I needed to do, but I just can't imagine being trapped with my audience afterwards. You know?
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of, again, that's that, you know, there's this thing I have about sort of being claustrophobic in open spaces, which sounds like, you know, when you're on a boat, as you mentioned, miles from land, that has that sense of, even though you're on a big ship in the middle of the ocean, that it's a very isolated situation.
Sure. And the Stowaway is all about claustrophobia.
Okay.
Even though you're on this massive ship, you realize when you're looking out over the deck at night and there's no moon out, you realize how insignificant that boat is in the engulfing darkness, the overwhelming darkness of the ocean. It is a perfect setting for paranoia and for a serial killer to strike. Also, the cruise ship the staff is not equipped to handle a serial killer that has been meticulously planning his crimes for years. You know, it's very easy to get overwhelmed and to feel surrounded by fear and danger.
Yeah, I get the chills just thinking of having to be in a situation like that. And again, where can folks find the book? Where do you encourage people to look? Because I know you got the website.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you can get The Stowaway on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere books are sold. The audiobook is excellent, by the way. The narrator is really good. And it includes an hour-long Q&A with Darren and I, my co-writer and I, at the end, kind of answering fan questions.
Right.
And then, of course, if you like an autographed copy, go to meetmurr.com, M-E-E-T, meetmurr.com, and I'll send one from my living room to your living room.
Well, that's what I love, too. I was watching some of your promos on Facebook, and you know the different ways, because of the pandemic, that you're engaging people. Has that challenged you to find different ways and creative ways to make sure you're not only getting the word out, but giving fans a new way to connect with you?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to stay connected to fans. But finally, last week, we were able again to do in-person book signings. I haven't been able to do any in-person events for 2 years. And so that was great, man, seeing our fans' faces as we read a chapter of the book and answered questions and met them and took photos. What a great experience. So hopefully we'll do many more in-person book signings to come.
Absolutely. And make sure you're following James Murray on Twitter. Go to his Facebook page. Learn more about the books that he's written. There's 5. I was mistaken. I apologize. Because I know that you also have a co-author on these projects, too. Do you want to talk a little bit about the work that you do with him?
Yeah, you know, Darren and I are dear friends. He was in my bridal party for my wedding. I'm the godfather of his daughter as well. It started out 5 years ago. He helped me polish up the first book, Awakened, and then we've now done 5 together with more to come after this. So he's just a great, awesome guy. And we get along famously.
Well, congratulations on this new book. Again, it's The Stowaway by James Murray, and you can find it on his website, follow him on all the social media, and I look forward to going on more journeys with you. Best of luck on all the new projects that you take on. I know that you're always doing great work, and I wish you the very best on all of it.
You got it. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day. We're going to take a break here. I have we have Senator Laura Murphy coming up next. She's got some great insight on what's going on in Springfield. I put that on the monitor. I don't know how. I had to add her at the last minute because I am terrible with keeping my docs. I had two docs for today's date, so that's totally my fault. But I added it to today's sheet. My apologies. Is that all good? And I want to. You know what? I'm gonna take a break here, and I'm probably gonna have to pick up the phone and talk directly to Ed and Dave because I've kept them on hold so long. I don't like doing that to anybody. More after this on WCPT 820.
January 6, 2021. Followers of Trump and something called QAnon attempted a coup at the United States Capitol. Who are these people?
I want to live with the QAnon girl.
I don't know if I want to live with a QAnon girl. You know who I do want to talk to is Illinois State Senator Laura Murphy of the 28th District. How are you doing tonight, Senator?
Well, Patty, I'm great, and I'm really so happy to be here with you tonight. You know, it's rare that we get to speak to hosts as informed as you are, Patty Vasquez, and because of that, seriously, you're able to educate and challenge both your listeners and guests, so I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, that's very kind of you, and I am always thrilled to see that the work that you're doing. I know that you work tirelessly for your constituents, but not just in your district, but also across, because the work that you do affects us across the state of Illinois, and that's one of the reasons I always try to encourage people to connect with their legislators. How has it been over the last few months, you know, as we're trying to kind of come out of this pandemic, but we're still keep getting pulled back with whether it's people who fight the mask mandates or vaccine requirements, you know, continue to see spikes in different places. How have you weathered this with your constituents?
Well, you know, I think if you speak to any legislator, they'll tell you that it's been just as challenging for us as it has been for other people, because those things that everyone experiences, we also do that, but, you know, magnify it in the Senate by 217,000 people.
Right.
So but you just try and, you know, person by person, help them through their issues. So it's most of the legislatures. Legislators in the Senate and the House have been working diligently throughout the pandemic, whether it be in person, whether it be on Zoom, and we work kind of 24/7 nowadays. There doesn't seem to be any separation between on and off time, similar to what you're seeing in the business environment.
Well, right. And speaking of business environment, I know that a lot of legislators have been going out canvassing and talking to business owners in their communities. What do you want people to know about the opportunities that they have for getting small business loans and grants?
Well, and that's so important. There are so many opportunities on the DCEO website. That's the State Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. They are the ones that are responsible for filtering those ARPA federal dollars to the individuals in our communities. And there is money available for everybody. So I just encourage you to reach out to the DCEO website. If you don't find success there, touch base with your legislator, whether it be your House member or your senator, and they'll be able to assist you through the process.
Outstanding. And I know that people, you know, folks probably think, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, it was so inconsistent. And I wonder if some people just gave up and figured it doesn't apply to them. And we need to encourage them to try again, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like any new program, there's always a few rough spots going into it. But I do believe they've worked out all the kinks, and things should flow much smoother now that they've had the opportunity to experience. This is really the third go around of funding that we've had. So I really think that they have worked out the kinks, and no one should be discouraged if they didn't receive something in the past. They should reapply. And just a note, just because you filled out an application before doesn't carry that application over to today's money. So people will have to reapply.
Okay, that's good to know. There's been conversation all day today about the threats to democracy and the efforts in particular when it comes to those who follow blindly in Trump's wake of anything that he says. And so we've been talking about what we can do to make sure that our voices are heard. And I know Dave had some thoughts about something that we should all know about. Hey, Dave, what did you want to call about?
Hey, Patty. Hey, Senator. Yes, tomorrow, the 28th or the fourth Tuesday of every September, is National Voter Registration Day. It's a nonpartisan civic holiday. They've been celebrating this holiday, democracy holiday since 2012, and it has quickly gained the momentum, and it's nearly 4.5 million voters have registered to vote on that holiday to date. But according to the U.S. Census data of 2020, as many as 1 in 4 eligible Americans are not registered to vote.
That's astounding to me. I'm so glad that you brought that up. And folks can go to National Vote Registration Day, voterregistrationday.org. Yep. That's National Voter Registration Day.org.
And it was inspired by the book by my heroine, Eleanor Roosevelt. She wrote a book, When You Grow Up to Vote.
Oh, there you go. Oh, thank you so much for letting us know about that, Dave. Right, I appreciate
it. Hey, check your mail, Patty. There's something coming.
Oh, thank you so much. It's not a wonderful and ominous. Take care.
Really?
Thanks, Dave.
Dave is so right. There's nothing more important than making sure your voice is heard.
Yep.
And you got to register to vote in order to do that. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be more civically engaged.
I agree. And that's the thing, because, and look, I know there are people who say if you don't vote, you know, don't complain. And that's not, we don't want to drive people into corners or to berate them either. It needs to be encouraging. And there are people who are cynical. That's really hard. When you come across somebody who's like, what difference does it make? What do you have to say to them when it comes to voting?
Well, I say that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges that we face as legislators is to get people to believe that government can work for them.
Yes.
And it can. I can give them example after example where people have come into my office and said, hey, I have this problem, and we're able to enact legislation to solve that problem, because that's really what we do. But you have to reach out to your legislator, tell them what the issue is, and we can find solutions to problems, and government can work for you. And it starts at that most basic level. You know, input at the school board level, input at your local aldermanic races, trustees, library districts, and then up the chain and, you know, county level, state level, then, of course, the federal level. But government can work for you. And we have to, you know, as an elected official, too, I expect people to hold me accountable.
And
call me up. Tell me what you think.
Thank you. That's the thing. I encourage folks to look up their legislators. If you don't know where to go, there's a lot of different websites out there. The Board of Elections, you can put your information in there. You can go to openstates.org. It always fascinates me when I encounter people who have a lot to say and they're very angry. And then I ask them what their legislators or their electeds had to say about it. And they're like, I don't know who that is. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, in Illinois recently, your legislator has passed laws to make it as easy as possible to register to vote, to participate in the system. You know, we've made school holidays so that people, you know, can have the opportunity. If you're in the school system, there'll be a holiday. You don't have to worry about kids and voters coming into the school. We have made permanent the vote by mail situation. We have made permanent some of those boxes where you can drop off your ballot. You don't need any excuse anymore that you're not going to be voting in person. You can just apply online for an absentee ballot or vote by mail. It's the same thing, and participate in the system. So we've tried to do everything we can to make it more accommodating and remove all those barriers that people say why they can't get to the polling place on election day.
That's the thing, is there's no reason to make voting harder. There's just absolutely no reason whatsoever. And I love the legislation that you've all worked on. And speaking of how government can help you, and look, I know that people will say, well, if the property assessments weren't so high to begin with, we wouldn't have to ask for help. But there are ways in which people can seek some relief when it comes to their, I know that you've been working on this as well, spreading information in your community. How can folks appeal their tax appraisal?
Well, first off, you can come to a tax appeal seminar that every legislator hosts, but I in particular am having one Wednesday at the Elk Grove Assessor's Office, the Township Assessor's Office, which is on Landmere Road. And at that point in time, you can just bring your tax bill in, and the assessor has a computerized program that can help you get comparables in the area, ensure that all of the exemptions that you are eligible for are being applied to your tax bill. And then if nothing else, this can help keep your assessment level even without increasing, so that, you know, when your taxes are assessed, your assessed level will stay the same, and hopefully your taxes also will remain at that level. And there were some reassessments done. You know, if you feel that an error was made, and unfortunately there were errors made, you should come to a tax seminar so that you can file any appeal that you're eligible for. And this includes condominium owners as well.
Oh, I think a lot of folks don't even think about that, because they figure, you know, it's the square footage that they have on their property and all those different elements. My mom is the property owner, so you can tell that I'm not really well versed on having to challenge any of these things. My mom is so incredibly smart and has worked really hard to be where she is, and I'm grateful to be able to live in her building.
But speaking of my parents are, you know, I thought were very educated on the system. I saw their property tax bill the other day when they came out at the end of August, and I noticed they're missing an exemption. Oh. So it's just the slightest error can occur and amongst anybody.
Oh, wow.
So.
And how
they should come and learn about it.
Yeah, please, everyone, go to, as Senator Murphy just mentioned, your legislators should have a seminar. I know that in our area we are as well. So go to their Facebook pages. They often have information there. Go to their websites. Again, you can find information about who your electeds are by going to the Board of Elections website or openstates.org. All the information is available there. And I know that we've talked as well about higher education and how we need to make sure that our universities are some of the first places our students want to go to. How are we doing now coming into the fall in regards to encouraging kids to go to the University of Illinois, to go to Northern, to go to any of our institutions across the state?
Well, I am so excited to report that under this administration, this past year, U of I has record enrollment.
Yay!
Northern Illinois has a 12% increase in their enrollment. ISU is at record enrollment as well. So I think that for our higher ed, it wasn't necessarily the pandemic was the problem. It was not having a budget for 763 days under the prior administration. And we didn't fund our higher ed. But now, you know, many of us, myself included, believe the path to stability, economic stability in this state is to make sure that we educate kids in Illinois, and the kids that we educate here stay here. They get jobs here. They raise their families here. And it just has that domino effect. And if we can't compete with our neighboring states on the cost of tuition, we're going to lose those kids. We invest in their pre-K education through 12th grade, and then we watch them walk out the door to another state, and that brain drain mm-hmm. has been so costly to the state of Illinois. But there seems to be a trend of reversing that, and so I'm really excited about that. I also wanted, maybe your listeners would like to know, too, that I passed a bill this last session that creates a task force to review the cost of textbooks, because often the cost of some of those ancillary things are so expensive, right? You think you're done at the tuition, and then comes all these other additional costs. So we're studying that and seeing where we can make more books electronically available and reduce the cost of purchasing books, and hopefully then lead to lowering the cost of higher education.
Yes, outstanding. Again, we've been talking to Senator Laura Murphy of the 28th District. You can go to SenatorLauraMurphy.com to find out about all the great work that she does. And I apologize that I had to shorten our segment because there was so much going on. And I want to invite you to come in studio, and then afterwards I can take you out to dinner at the Gale Street Inn or something in the neighborhood.
Oh,
sound good?
I love the Gale Street Inn.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
The greatest. All right. Thank you so much, Senator. It was great catching up with you, and thank you for all the hard work. And I'll be able to catch up with you a little bit, too, in Springfield when you guys go back for the veto session. Look forward to that.
Oh, wonderful. I look forward to that. And keep up the great work, Patty. Keep people informed.
I'm trying. I'm trying. I learned from them, too.
You're doing great.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
You, too.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
That's our time. Bye-bye. I have to run, and we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to have comedian Bradley Tassel on. And thank you to all of our callers who were so patient. If I